Everyone's a joke.
We got a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of punters.
We don't get anything.
All those things.
Aaron and James still game day too?
Yeah, I would say so. Definitely. Yeah, we'll have to work those guys out Sunday before the game. I don't want to go down that road, Dale.
Obviously, you did pay probably more attention than usual to what he was doing.
Yes.
So if you talk about how the run defense wasn't where you wanted it to be.
Right.
Last week, talk about the progress you think from this group today this week.
I think we're improved. We worked hard on it. We spent a lot of time on it on Wednesday, and then we went pads on Thursday, and I thought – yesterday's practice was a good practice. I think they understand the assignments. Again, this is a very challenging team to go against as far as, the running backs that they have and the offensive line that they have. But I believe we improved this week.
How different was Aaron this week compared to last week in terms of what he did in the practice or how he practiced?
It was about the same, James, It was about the same. Well, one of the strengths, yeah. I mean, start with the defense. I think their defensive line is very, very stout. Good defensive line. Linebackers, we're very familiar with Brandon Spikes. He's a heck of a middle linebacker. Gilmore at corner. McKelvin at the other corner. Graham. I mean, those guys are good players. So they're a strong team. And then offensively, their line is a good line, like you said. Two really good backs. Good receivers, including a number one draft pick. So, like I've said all week, it's a big challenge for us.
I feel like DeMarz has gotten comfortable now. I know it probably takes a little bit of time to figure everything out. Does he seem like he's grasped everything?
It's getting better every week. It's hard to come in here and just kind of get it all at once, because the nature of the business. We got him off the wire and he came in, and it's definitely improving and getting better every week.
Number of places you use him, has he ever felt overwhelmed with it? You feel like
No, I think he handles it real well. No, he's a smart guy. He's a real hard worker, very serious guy, and he really wants to do well. And when he makes a mistake, just like all of us, he's hard on himself about that. So he's working extremely hard to get comfortable with the offense.
Bill, you were asked earlier in the week the chain of command, the guys upstairs, you were on the side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where does that come from? But then you say the other guys have pads.
Yeah, you can. That's a good question. So you this year the NFL started using what they call the Surface tablets. I have a Surface tablet for my own video that I can take home with me and things like that. I can watch tape on the plane or at home, things like that. But the Surface tablet on game day is basically a reflective picture of the previous series taken from cameras up top, okay, or in the end zone. Both teams have that, available to them. Every team in the NFL has that. But you can also choose to have pictures printed out, still photo pictures of the same thing. That technology's been around for a long time,
What is that device?
They print it out. It's just like a printer, and it's just black and white, and whereas the Surface is color.
That after every play?
Yeah, I do. After every series. No, it's between series, right? And so I use the pictures just because I'm not sitting on the bench, So as the head coach, I'm paying attention to what's going on the field, and in between plays, I'm looking at the previous series offensively or defensively and just noting some things. Hey, this was cover two. Hey, they blitzed us here. Hey, this was third down and they played man. General thoughts. I like to write on the pictures, whereas most of the assistants use the Surface tablet because they're sitting with their player, and they're able to kind of use it as a film device.
Now, you had an offensive coordinator and a quarterback coach. The offensive coordinator would probably be upstairs.
I don't know that, Dale. Yeah, I don't know that. I think it's always important for the guys that coordinate the offense, and this may change as time goes on with me, but one of the things I've always felt important in my own mind is that you're eyeball to eyeball with the quarterback. And that you spent all week with this quarterback in the meeting room and on the practice field, that you want to be able to look that guy in the eye on the sideline and see how he's doing. Right. And so I think that's something that that is something that I have a strong belief in. So that's kind of why it's set up the way we have it here.
We have time to confer with George.
Oh, yeah.
Every play. But George is the one signaling the play, too.
Right. So we basically, like I said all week, I'm the final decider on the play call, final play caller. But I'm able to talk to him throughout, you know, because I have basically two buttons. So when we go over to defense, I can switch over to button B and talk to Romeo Crennel or the defensive staff. When we go to offense, I can switch over to button A and talk to George or the offensive staff. And I also can talk to Bob Ligashevsky. So, you know, you have to be a little bit of a multitasker.
Your offensive guys upstairs, what are they giving you?
They're looking, it depends on what side of the ball, but basically you got a guy upstairs, the offensive assistant coaches are looking at front, one guy's looking at the front, the blitzes, things that involve the front, and then the other guy's looking at coverages, things that involve coverage, so how does the coverage affect the front? And the one thing you have to do a good job of upstairs, offensively or defensively, is you can't be a fan of the game. You can't watch the ball. You've got to watch what your assignment is, and when you first go up there, you know, 20-something years ago when I first started coaching, I was in the press box a lot.
You had to learn that.
That's right. When you're 21, 22 years old and you've been playing and you love football and all of a sudden you're cheering, you know, great play, great run. And, you know, the guy that's been coaching 30 years longer than you is like, hey, buddy, wake up, watch what you're supposed to watch. That's what's important for those guys is that they can't be fans of the game. They have to watch their assignments. And the guys that we have doing that do a good job.
How quickly can they get viable information?
Very quickly. You know, one of the things that's important, let's rewind a little bit too, because this is an interesting conversation, is when we first started as a staff together way back in January, and we, you know, we'd work on the draft in the morning and work on a playbook in the afternoon. One of the things we came together on was our language. How do we call coverages? How do we call fronts? It's like a whole different language. You know, this is cover six, this is cover eight, this is blitz zero, this is blitz one, this is zero out slot formation, this is half personnel, this is regular personnel. So we had to come together on the language so that when we're communicating during the game, we're speaking the same language. If they're speaking some other language that they had from a previous staff, it does us no good.
Did you, maybe a really dumb question, but did you dress rehearsal this, or was the first preseason game?
I would say the preseason is the dress rehearsal, but we would do things during training camp to help us. Like one of the things we definitely do is how we – most of the plays in practice are somewhat scripted. So we use the coach-to-quarterback system so that George can relay the play into the quarterback so that they can hear it in the helmet. That's one thing we will do. But as far as like the upstairs, downstairs, we started that in preseason. That's kind of one of the things that, especially for a new staff, that's what the preseason's all about. Yes. Oh, no question. Yeah, when I started coaching in 92 or 93, you know, we would write things down and chart it by hand. And there were no pictures or anything like that. Now, that was in college. And then when I got to the pros, it was just these still black and white pictures, which were just wide shots. They weren't end zone shots. So now it's become not only the surface tablet, but you get two views. You get a sideline shot and you get an end zone shot of each play. So that's pretty good, too. So, yeah, it's evolving all the time.
Are these shots from your own camera people, or is this
a... Yes.
So you can position them as you see fit.
Right, but basically there's rules on that, though. Okay. You know, there's rules on that, how many guys you can have filming the game, where they can be, those types of things.
Thank you.
Yep.
Well, just one question on Ryan. Do you feel like you needed to talk to him a little bit after last game during the week, be sort of... lift his confidence? You think he's been around too long where he doesn't really need that?
I talk to these guys every single day. I mean, I try to talk to, you know, it's impossible to talk to every single player every day, but I certainly try to talk to a lot of players every day, and he's one of them. And, yeah, so I communicate with these guys quite a bit during the week.
Bill, another player today
in
the practice week, have they responded the way you wanted to coming off that first
ball? No, there's no doubt about that. This is a really good group of guys. I mean, these guys practice hard, they play hard, they compete, they listen attentively in the meetings. I just really, like I've said this, I think our coaching staff, I speak for our coaching staff saying that we really enjoy coaching these guys, you know. And it's one game, and it was the third game of the season. We didn't play very well, we didn't coach very well. So we need to do better on Sunday, but it's a long season.
Thank you.